Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
I want to welcome you to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a blessing to be in worship with all of you on this wonderful morning. I see so many new faces out here, and I see all the scouts down the hall. It is wonderful to be with the scouts this morning. The Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, and the Cub Scouts, they mean so much to the life of the church here at Asbury, and so we are thankful to spend this morning in worship with you. Couple of quick announcements real quick. First of all, today is Scout Sunday. Next week will be UMW Sunday, where we take a morning and we recognize and honor that wonderful ministry. In the 8:30 service and in the launch service, we'll have a special message. You'll get a fresh new preacher, which will be Megan Arnold, and I know she is going to do a wonderful job of bringing them. I know you guys might as well applaud for that, but it's going to be a wonderful morning. If you signed up for Invitation to Romans, that starts this Wednesday, and I will send an email out tomorrow. We have a few meetings this morning. At 9:30 this morning, we invite the Sunday School's Next Phase and Journey to join us in room 222, which is the indoor playroom, for a conversation. And then today at noon, if you have youth in our ministry or you volunteer with the youth, we'll have a meeting and a lunch at noon. So I look forward to seeing you there during that time. As we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, let's stand and greet our neighbor by passing the peace of Christ.
Would you please stand as you are able for our call to worship? Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Will you please remain standing for the presentation of our colors? Color Guard, advance. Will you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the Christian flag? I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag. To the Savior whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. Will you please join me in the Scout Oath? On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout Law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Will you please join me in the Scout Law? A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, clean, and reverent.
Will you join me in the Girl Scout promise? On my honor, I will try to serve God and my country, to help people at all times, and to live by the Girl Scout Law.
If you would remain standing for the hymn of praise, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, number 155 in your hymnal.
Oh,
Now Dr. Jim Britt will give us our scouting moment.
Thank you, Jack, and thank you, Gabriel, and all the scouts for the flag presentation. I'm glad there was a hymn in between there because I get very emotional when I hear the scout oath and the law, even though I've said them 1,000 times. It's emotional when I see it in practice. We have 93 Cub Scouts at Asbury and 20 adult leaders. We have 24 Scouts BSA and 10 adult leaders. And I can say that these are active members, very, very active. We also have the Girl Scout troop that meets on the Tuesday of every month, and the other programs are every Tuesday, so come and see what all the Scout programs are doing. Of all our leaders, I did want to recognize our Scoutmaster, Todd Turner. Want to stand up, Todd? And is Jackson here? His son, Jackson, completed his Eagle Scout in the last year and repainted the upper part of the church parking lot. Thank you. And our continuing mainstay is Chi Dolan, who has been our pack master for years and years, Cub Master. And if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't have hardly anybody in the Scout troop, because they all come from the Cub Scout program, and they're great families. And also, I'd like to thank Asbury and Dee Dee for continuing to sponsor our program since 1924. And Chi and Dee Dee, please accept these flowers after the next service. The Boy Scouts came to the United States by way of a Mr. Boyce, a publisher, who was lost in the fog in England. And a boy came up and directed him to where he wanted to go, and he was going to give him a tip. And he said, "No, sir, I'm a scout." Mr. Boyce didn't know what this was, but he investigated and went to the scout office in London. He was very impressed and brought the program back to the United States in 1910. In February, so this is our anniversary month. We never did know who that unknown scout was, but he did great things with a small deed. We have an unknown scout in our own troop. I received this letter about 2 Christmases ago that I will read. "Mr. Troopmaster, this is to inform you of a good deed by one of your boys. I am 80 years of age, and no one appreciates the good manner of some children. I was pushing my cart and ran to a display of Christmas cookie decorations. It hit the floor and little bottles started rolling everywhere. All of a sudden, this nice little boy was there helping me pick them up. He was a great help to me. I asked if he was a Boy Scout, and he said he was. He told me he was in Troop 24 at Asbury Methodist Church. This happened on December 6th, around 3 p.m. at Kroger's on Chenal. I just wanted to recognize him. He was wonderful. And sincerely, Betty Griffin," if anybody knows Mr. Griffin. And said, "P.S., we did not exchange names." We never did find out who this scout in our troop was. Nobody took credit for it, but it could have been any of our scouts. Thank you.
Now it's time for our children's moments with Brother Nick Schimmer leading the way. Oh, I'm sorry, and his wife as well.
Like we might still be a little bit sleepy heads this morning. Is that how we're feeling? Are we doing okay? You're doing okay? We're good. We're good. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I didn't even get a nod from any of them. They just kind of blank stared at me. Seems like we all need a little bit of hot chocolate or something to wake up, don't we? Yeah. All right. Well, this morning we're going to talk about helmets. What's a helmet? Yes, okay. It protects your head. And what my friend here said was it protects your head when you have fire on it. But I'm going to go one step a little bit farther. And chipmunks. And chipmunks, when they have fire on it too, he said. So I think I'm going to go one step farther and say that I think maybe it helps protect your head before you get fire on it. Is that where you were going? Yeah? Okay, good, good. That's perfect. That's a perfect answer. It protects our heads. What is in our head that is so important to protect? Yes, ma'am. Our brains. That's right. Excellent job. What kinds of jobs can you think of where people might need to wear a helmet to protect their head and their brain? My friend over here who didn't want to tell me good morning. I don't think that works. Good job. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. A construction worker. That's right. Lots of heavy equipment. Liam? SWAT team. Yes, absolutely. The police officer. That would be mine. We're going to go to the most drastic situation we can find. Anybody else have any kinds of what about when you're riding your bike? Do you wear a helmet when you're riding your bike? Yeah, what about some sports? Do you play? You don't ride. You don't wear a helmet when you ride your bike? No? You're just that good, huh? Yeah. Let's stay on the rails. Astronauts, that's right. What about any sports?
Football.
There we go. Football, hockey. Yes, thank you, friend. Okay, so a helmet protects our head and protects our brain. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about salvation. What is salvation? Who knows what that means? You have no idea. Well, it's a good thing you came up here this morning, sister. Just want to talk about it. Salvation is what God gives us all through Jesus' sacrifice, right? So when we put on the helmet of salvation, we are protecting our brain in a whole different way. When we put on the helmet of salvation, the helmet of being saved by Jesus and remembering that, what we're doing is we're making a choice. We're making a choice to follow Jesus, right? Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry. Did that embarrass you? I didn't mean to look at you. She got all red. I'm sorry, sweet girl. So when we put on the helmet of salvation, we've made a choice to follow Jesus, right? Now, when we choose to follow Jesus, is there like all this stuff that we have to do to earn that salvation? Or is it just about making the choice to follow him? It's just about following him. Great job. You're on point this morning. Somebody had his Wheaties for breakfast. High five, kiddo. So when we choose to follow him, we immediately have put on our helmet of salvation, right? And that means that we have been given the salvation from Jesus. Does that make sense?
Kind of,
yeah? Okay. So all we have to do right now to get ourselves a sucker is stand up and grab one.
Well, hold on. That's not all you got to do.
Well,
I know my name is in the bulletin to do the children's moment, and a smart man always calls in a smarter woman to handle this. And to prove to you that I'm no dum-dum, I'm going to pass out dum-dums today. To all of you, but we will pray first. As soon as you're done.
As I was getting ready to finish my sentence, yes, I was going to say that we that we don't have to do anything to receive the sucker. Just like we don't have to do anything to receive the salvation from Jesus, except choose. So, can everybody choose with me this morning? Can you take your hands like you've got something in it? Can you put your hands on your head like you're putting on a helmet? All right, each one of you have just decided to put on the helmet of salvation. Can you guys give yourselves a round of applause for that? Woo! Nice job! All right, now Brother Nick's going to pray for us this morning. Thank you for letting me finish, babe.
Let's pray. Almighty God, we give thanks to you for this time together, for this lesson that Jennifer has taught us about the helmet of salvation. As we go forward, let us always be strong in our faith and in our love of Jesus Christ, and know that that is what protects us and what guides us, his grace and his mercy and his love. All three things we desperately need, and so we are so thankful for that. Thank you. For our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is his name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right.
Now we have the opportunity to lift up our voices in prayer. So would you join me this morning? Loving God, our Father, we give you thanks for your providential care in our lives. You alone are trustworthy. You alone see our deepest needs, and you alone can meet them. We thank you for this day, this time of worship together, for these young scouts and their families who have committed themselves to the highest ideals of living in community and living faithfully and living kindly for the sake of others. We pray that you would bless them and their commitment would yield fruit in their lives, that they might indeed display the virtues that they aspire to. Lord, we also give you thanks for Jesus Christ, who knows our burdens and our pain, who came to live among us, and who loves us no matter what. We are grateful today that Christ Jesus goes before us, that there is nothing we can experience that he does not understand, and that his compassion flows over all of us, and his mercy is never ending. He is the one who gave his life that we might have life. And so we lift up praise and thanksgiving to you, and ask only that you would make us aware of his love, that we could accept it for ourselves and put on that helmet, that armor of love, and serve others in his name. And God, today we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit at work among us, bringing healing and hope in the midst of so many questions and doubts about the world, about our future, about our churches, God, inspire us through the Spirit this day. Open our hearts to your word and to the gospel that will be preached and sung and shown among us. Fill us with the Spirit that we might be bold and courageous to do acts of love and to share our stories of faith so that others might come to know you. And as we pray every Sunday, O God, we do lift up those to you who have no one else to pray for them, knowing that we are a community of faith at Asbury who can welcome all and make space and share the good news. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. That is our joy this day and always. And so it is in his name that we lift all of our prayers, praying as he taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue our worship this day, we have the opportunity to give of our tithes and our offerings out of gratitude for all that God has made known to us. Let us pray. O God, receive these tithes and offerings as a sign of our love and gratitude to you. Take them and multiply them, that they might be used for the glory of your kingdom, that it might shine among us, but even more importantly, that it would shine through us onto a world, a community, people who desperately need the good news of the gospel. Amen.
Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 9. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously lived according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We will all previously lived among them in our fleshy desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by his grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Jesus Christ, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from work, so that no one can boast.
Would you please stand for our hymn of meditation, Let Us Plead for Faith Alone, number 385 in your hymnal.
Remain standing for the reading of the gospel. This is Luke chapter 19. You know this story. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I just want to say again a welcome to our scouts and thank you for being here this morning. It means so much to this church to provide not only a space for you, but leadership for your troops and your dens and all of the ministries that happen through scouts. And Jim, it does my heart so much good to see your passion, and never be embarrassed for the tears that come from the heart when we do something that we love and we know makes a difference. Amen. Well, the other day, I received $1 million. The trouble is that I stuck it in the little spot there, you know, what's that called? In the middle of your car seat, you know, what's it? The console, gosh. I stuck it in the console, and Emma took it, and I haven't seen it again. Obviously, there was something unusual about that $1 million, or believe me, it would not have been put in the console of my minivan. It was a $1 million bill that posed a question on the back. It said, "Are you saved?" And then it went on, "If you died today, would you go to heaven?" It included a couple paragraphs that I think were meant to scare the sin right out of me and then offered me the chance to pray the sinner's prayer, also printed there, and be saved. Now, I don't know who cared enough about me and a parking lot full of strangers to purchase a packet of those $1 million bills and spend the time to distribute them. But I want to tell you that I admire their concern and commitment to me and to my soul. I have to admit, though, that as a United Methodist, I wish I could have met them and explained a little more about how we as a community of faith understand salvation. Now, for those of you who are guests with us today, we're in the middle of a series of looking at some of John Wesley, the founder of Methodism's most famous sermons, and learning from them about some of the doctrines of the United Methodist Church. So while this may not be totally your cup of tea this morning, we hope that you will drink deeply from the good news of Jesus Christ that's held within. Wesley made his sermon called Salvation by Faith the very first sermon in his collected works for a reason. He knew from his own experience and former efforts that salvation by faith is both the most important and the most misunderstood doctrine of the faith. In Wesley's time, as in our own, he knew that many people believed being saved meant receiving Jesus into our hearts and getting our names recorded in a big book in heaven. In other words, we're saved when we get our ticket to heaven, if you've been a good person, or a get out of free card if you've been especially bad. The ticket or the card are a reward to us when we believe. Once we say the right words in the right way, we are saved. The truth is in there somewhere. But while salvation does include the assurance of eternal life, and salvation does connect us to heaven, Wesley believed that there was more than that to salvation. There's more about salvation than just being sure that the next life in another place will be better than this life in this place. Wesley believed, and so do I, that salvation is about our lives now, in the places where we live now, in our homes, in our offices, in the grocery store, and the community at large. The Greek word for salvation is sozo. Sozo, it means to be healed or made one or whole with God and with each other. We witness to salvation every time we celebrate communion and pray together, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Whenever we experience the presence of God and God's love, we are being saved. Because in that experience, God is healing us, transforming us, and sending us back into the world to be agents of healing wherever we go. Without this relationship with God, we are lost. Truly lost. Now, lost does not refer to being a good person or a bad person. Lost means that we don't know where we are. I got lost once in inner city Chicago. I took a wrong turn, and suddenly I was in a place that I did not want to be in and did not know how to get out of. I was afraid. I thought I might never find my way out. I even began to fantasize about someone finding my dead and dried up corpse in my car because I ran out of gas, or I got stabbed or robbed or shot. And that's exactly what spiritual lostness is like. It's when we recognize that we're on the wrong road, chasing the wrong things. Being lost is the realization that the one thing we need most in this world is the very thing that we cannot get for ourselves. Being lost can lead us to do all kinds of crazy things. We begin to blame others. We get angry. We break rules, all in a frenzied attempt to get unlost. And that is where Jesus comes in. Jesus himself said, "I came to seek and save the lost." Jesus, who has compassion on us when we act like sheep without a shepherd. In my case, God sent an angel in the form of a Wendy's fast food restaurant. I kid you not, they had a drive-through and a manager whose kindness I will never forget. He let me cry a little and hyperventilate. And then he said, very calmly, "Do you see that stoplight 2 blocks up the way? Turn right there and stay on that street, and it will lead you straight back to the interstate." And then he said, "If you don't think you can make it, I'll get in my car and lead you there." Safety and home. Zacchaeus was lost too. And Jesus saw him up a tree. Up a tree. And he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come on down. And in that moment of invitation, Zacchaeus' life was changed. He was transformed. He didn't have to have money or power anymore. What he wanted were relationships and community. And so in response to Jesus' message of hospitality and love, he gave back half of his income to the poor and returned four times over the money that he had cheated from people. And when he told Jesus that he was going to do this, Jesus said, "Salvation has come to this home today." Notice the order. Jesus came to town. Zacchaeus went up a tree. Jesus called him down and went to his house. And Zacchaeus responded with joy and generosity that is unimaginable for most of us in this room today. But you see, in the presence of Jesus, he was sure of his salvation. He was sure that God had visited his home this day. So Paul says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take any credit for this because salvation is a gift from God. It is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. The word grace simply means gift. Our word charity comes from this idea of grace, and that's how salvation is given, as a gift. We cannot earn it. We do nothing to deserve it. But we will recognize it when we have received it. And this is how you'll know. Nothing will matter to you as much anymore as Jesus. Let me say that again. When we experience salvation, nothing else will matter to us as much as Jesus. But my fear is about myself that sometimes I sound more like one of the bystanders who grumbles about Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house. Grace for notorious sinners doesn't make sense. I want to believe that Jesus would want to spend his time with me in my home, surely not in inner city Chicago. Bono, the leader of the rock group U2, once said this about being saved. You see, he said, at the center of many religions is the idea of karma. You know, what you put in comes back to you. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But then along comes this idea of grace to upend all that. As you reap, you will sow stuff. And in my case, Bono says, this is very good news because I've done a lot of stupid stuff, and I'd be in big trouble if karma was going to be my judge. No, I'm holding out for grace. I don't have to depend on my own religiosity. Now, whatever you think about Bono, he understands grace. And he does have faith in the power of grace to save him, heal him, and make him whole. So here again is the way salvation works. God has stamped on each of us the divine image. It is in us. Inescapable. And that image keeps us connected to God so that God can move into our lives with love and grace. and at some point, or if we're truthful, many points in our lives, we become aware of God's presence and accept that God wants a relationship with us, that God wants to give us life, that God wants to know us to know his love, and God wants us to love others. Then we experience faith, the conviction that God is indeed at work in our lives, saving us day in and day out through Jesus Christ, who brought God's love into the world in skin that we can recognize and understand. Friends, that's what happened to Zacchaeus that day. Though he had led a life of greed and guilt, Jesus came to his house. Love called him out and walked down the road and into his front door. Grace blessed the dinner, and he knew that his life had been changed, and he had to respond with generosity and love. Salvation came to Zacchaeus. And one more thing. Salvation is never one and done. Salvation is the gift that keeps on giving every day, always there for us to respond to. And even now, in this moment, God is inviting you to receive salvation, to turn to God, to believe in your heart that God's grace has found you where you are, loves you as you are, and loves you so much that God's love cannot leave you the way you are. No, God wants to save you, transform you, and lead you to joy. So today, I invite you to examine your heart and ask yourselves, am I being saved? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you please stand for our hymn of commitment? This is A Day of New Beginnings, number 383 in your hymnal.
Friends, all of you who are guests with us, I hope that someone will lead you to the sacred grounds where you can find donuts and coffee and juice. We want to show you hospitality. And once in there and milling around, I'm sure that there will be folks in our congregation who will invite you to attend their Sunday school classes and be part of this community of faith in that full way today. And please accept those invitations. They are warmly offered to you. Now receive this benediction. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knock on the door of your heart this day, and knock so loudly and so persistently that you are compelled to open the door and let him in. Salvation has come to your home this day. In the name of Christ our Lord, let us go forth in peace.